This episode of Voices of the Elephant is brought to you by Nomad PHP. Start a habit of continuous learning. Visit nomadphp.com and subscribe today. Welcome to the Voices of the Elephant podcast. Each episode of Voices of the Elephant brings you an interview with a member of the PHP community. From project leaders to user group organizers, we talk to the people that are helping make the PHP community special. Hi, and welcome to another episode of Voices of the Elephant. My name is Cal Evans. I'm your host, and we're here in beautiful St. Louis and here in the U.S., and we are at PHP Tech. I'm frantically trying to remember where we are. We're at PHP Tech, and my special guest is Junaid.
Yep.
Did I say that?
You pronounced it right.
Okay, good. Bring the mic up just a little bit. Thank you.
There we are.
Now, Junaid, talk to us. You gave a tutorial today.
Yes, so to start things off, I gave a tutorial on PHP design patterns. Interesting topic. So the kind of reason for the talk is I spent the past few months starting to put together a book on the topic. I wasn't able to find any good resources when it came to implementing Gang of Four design patterns in PHP. Mm-hmm. So one of the things I was showing off today was various implementations which I'd come up with PHP 7 on how you can implement some cool design patterns.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, I know PHP Architect back in the day had a book by Jason Sweat, but for the life of me, I think that's the last book that was published PHP specific on these.
Yeah.
So who's publishing your book?
It's a company called Pact.
Oh, yes, familiar with Pact. Okay, excellent.
Yeah.
Kathy will dig up a link to, hopefully to the site, but if not to Pact, and we'll throw that in the show notes. Oh, that's very cool. Well, what's the biggest faux pas you see PHP developers do when using design patterns?
So I think the biggest kind of issue is really the lack of use of them more than anything, because I think I suppose the flexibility of PHP gives us lots and lots of freedoms. I mean, there are very few languages in which you could have the choice of composition inheritance and even prototypal inheritance. So you've got a lot of choice. And one of the things which has been an issue is PHP standardization. Mm-hmm. But I think from an architectural level, being able to have design patterns in place and that common language when talking between developers and especially when talking to architects, mm-hmm. is very important. So I think the best advice is to use design patterns, not take them necessarily as a catalogue of design patterns and just copy and paste code, but to implement the methodologies behind them. And what I'm proposing is just one possible implementation. I mean, there's many others. I mean, who's to say a singleton is not necessarily a static class? It mm-hmm. depends on, you know, the intent of the person who's writing the code more than anything.
Yeah. And I used to give a talk on design patterns in PHP way back in the day, like 2008, 2009. And you said something that resonated with my talk, is design patterns are the language that developers use to speak to each other. I mean, when architects talk to each other, if they say a kitchen, you know, they could mean a grandiose kitchen or they could mean just a stove and a sink in a one-bedroom apartment, but everybody understands the concept of it's a place to prepare food. And so this is our language for talking with each other, and they're not the Bible, this has to be done this way. It's just the way we describe concepts to each other.
Yeah, so one of the interesting projects I worked on was I worked on quite a few embedded systems on the British road network. Mm-hmm. So things like smart motorways and traffic lights, and this became kind of an Internet of Things project. And I was able to use quite a core set of PHP technologies behind it. But when I was doing the overall architecture, one of the issues I did run into was not necessarily as an architect, I would list down the design patterns I might recommend them, but it was that communication process of, because a lot of PHP developers hadn't necessarily encountered design patterns, especially if it's their exclusive language. So I think it's a facility which is quite vital for PHP developers to understand design patterns, and also I think the methodologies behind them. And I think in that sense as well, it's also good to be aware of the various anti-patterns, because with the flexibility of PHP, you know, you can go wild with the error suppression operator. Yeah. So definitely care is required, I'd say.
Absolutely. As with everything in PHP, care is required. Hey, before we move on to our next topic, I just want to say thank you to our sponsor, Nomad PHP. We want to thank you for appreciate Nomad PHP sponsoring. Nomad PHP is a virtual PHP user group. Now, if you don't have a local user group, we want you to join Nomad PHP. If you do have a local PHP user group, we'd much rather you be involved in your local user group. But if you are looking for more, or you don't have a local user group, please check out nomadphp.com and join us for the next meeting. Hey, you work at Cloudflare, one of my all-time favorite sites. I mean, the stuff you guys do is both technically phenomenal and then so very helpful. I used to use it for my personal blog, and it was just phenomenal because I could go out and look at the stats. You do caching and content distribution, but the thing I loved was I run WordPress, and you knew ahead of time, or you knew zero-day exploits that you would just block. Yeah. You know, either by the URL coming in or the IP addresses coming in from, you know, you'd make people verify that they're a real person before they could come in if they're coming from certain sites. Talk to us about working at a place that is becoming one of the core pieces of the internet.
Yeah, so I've always really wanted to work at Cloudflare, to be honest. I remember... I left school at 17. I did an apprenticeship in development, and even before then, when I was, you know, hacking away at my computer and Cloudflare was just a year old, I was like, this is awesome. So I mean, now working there, it's truly remarkable because everyone is so dedicated to what they're aiming for, and I mean, we like to think we're saving the internet, really, because ultimately, I think the way the internet is converging, we've got you need something to sit between, you know, your DigitalOcean or your AWS server, mm-hmm. And the outside world to do the firewalls without the overhead, or to do the CDN, or to do the content distribution. So I think what we do is really, really exciting. And I mean, you look at recently, we released HTTP2 server push. We're one of the first people to do it.
Nice.
Yeah. And you just see the performance impact, and it's remarkable from that perspective. But at the same time, we're able to mitigate some of the worst attacks, not only just DDoS attacks, but you see the work that goes into our web application firewall and into the other protections we do. And I think whenever I walk into the office, and usually sometimes I'll walk in past midnight, and there's always someone in the office because there's always someone who's that dedicated. So it's a really amazing place to work.
That is phenomenal. Now, do you still have your free tier?
So I've essentially I've got a Cloudflare plan on every scale, so I can test everything basically.
But Cloudflare still offers the free tier.
Yes.
Now, see, that was phenomenal to me because I set up my personal blog and they didn't ask me for a credit card or anything. They said, okay, you need to swap over your DNS because the DNS has to point to you, and then you point back downstream to the site. But it's like, I get all this stuff. I get the application level firewall. And those of you who run WordPress, you know, zero-day exploits are our biggest fear. Well, Cloudflare knows about this stuff before we do, and they're already protecting. If you're going through Cloudflare, they simply don't let those people, those URLs come in. You know, it's awesome. And I kept expecting my free trial to end, and they start hitting me up for $50, $100. Free is free. They have that. Now, if you want, I think the next level up is a whopping $20 a month or something, yeah. Like that. If you want additional things, but the free level did the job for my personal blog. I just can't recommend it enough. And when I was doing it, there was a WordPress plugin that helped set everything up, and you know, it was just, and gave me stats back down in my WordPress dashboard. It integrated very nicely, and I assume you integrate as well with Drupal and all the other ones as well.
Yeah, we integrate with any site which can essentially, with its own DNS, and if you've got the power to change its DNS, we can help protect you. And I think one of the remarkable things is you look at how when we released Universal SSL, when this was before the days of Let's Encrypt, and we were able to issue free of charge SSL certificates.
Yeah, y'all were doing that before Let's Encrypt.
Yeah, we were doing it before Let's Encrypt, although, you know, Let's Encrypt is very, very admirable in the aim of it, distributing it to, you know, people who wouldn't ordinarily be able to have access to SSL. And I think the impact we had there of distributing encryption throughout the web is really phenomenal. And I think one of the things which makes me really passionate about what I do is just how much of a difference we make on the internet, and how much of a significant proportion of the internet our engineers touch when they push a single line of code.
Yeah, and like I said, you get so much for so little. Y'all give so much back. Hey, you talked about HTTP/2. Now, I am at the mercy of CentOS, which means Red Hat, and I'm using Apache, so I'm still stuck on 2.4.6 or 2.4.7. I don't hold any hope of going HTTP/2 anytime soon. But people that are not burdened by Red Hat like I am, how are you seeing the adoption of 2? Are you seeing people, it grow, or are we struggling? Is it like an early version of PHP where we got to kind of push people? You know?
So interestingly, we power more HTTP/2 sites than any other provider, and we can we can reverse proxy. So we can, if your site is on HTTP 1.1, we can reverse proxy through HTTP/2. And if we hit a browser which doesn't support HTTP/2, we can fall back to Speedy as well. Mm-hmm. But I think in terms of the performance increase, it is really dramatic how much it offers. And I think also now that it's the de facto standard, I mean, the RFC doesn't specify that you have to use TLC when you're, or you don't have to have an encrypted website. But I mean, all the browsers have implemented it such that in order to use HTTP/2, you must be running over SSL.
Yeah.
And I think that is that's really critical, because it means people who ordinarily wouldn't have an incentive to move to HTTP/2 for you know, traditional security benefits, they have that incentive for security benefits as well.
Well, as we discussed, I mean, y'all were an early provider of free SSL, but now with Let's Encrypt, I mean, I moved from, I had my e-commerce sites. I had a couple of e-commerce sites, and those had been encrypted for a long time. But now I'm like, ah, screw it. Let's do everything, you know, because it's free. Google ranks you higher. There's very few reasons not to these days. And every time when I see somebody's site that's not encrypted, I'm like, are they just not paying attention? You know? Well, that's great. I do appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule. I know you gave a talk today. I appreciate you being here at the conference. I'll ask you the same questions I ask everybody, but I did not prepare you like I prepared everybody else for this. What's your local user group? And it doesn't have to be a PHP user group. What's your local user group, and what's the URL?
I'm incredibly proud of my local user group. My hometown, I tend to live in London nowadays, but my hometown is a town called Rugby in Warwickshire in the UK. And there we have a lovely local user group called PHP Walks. I can, if you're...
I'm familiar with them.
Yeah, really awesome group. I've given a talk there before, but I'm so proud of everything they do.
We will throw a link to their Twitter account in the show notes. That's a very good group. Well, I want to thank you for taking the time out of your conference schedule to be with us here today, because I know you got other things. A lot of people wanted to talk to you, but you took the time to come out here and share with us and teach us and prepare a tutorial. So thank you for what you're doing for the PHP community to help educate us on all the new technologies.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, considering it, I mean, the PHP community was one of the reasons I chose PHP as a language. And when I was very young, it was something that I had an interest in. And the reason above Java and above all the other languages I chose PHP was that support network that was there. So I think it's just a matter of responsibility to pay back, really.
Thank you so much. Thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Voices of the Elephant. Voices of the Elephant is copyright EICC Incorporated and released under a Creative Commons Attribution, No Derivatives, Share and Share Alike license. To nominate someone to be a guest on Voices of the Elephant, visit our website and click on the nominate link. The URL is voicesoftheelephant.com. Elephant is, of course, spelled E-L-E-P-H-P-A-N-T.